The intro seemed to play a little long.
Yeah.
That was a little weird. Last night or Sunday night, we didn't even get the intro initially. We got a sound clip that TC had uploaded, some news thing from a story we did, I don't know, a month or two ago. And now a little long on the intro. So, hey, everybody in the chat room, it's the U's with your hosts, Jason and Rotten Biohazard. Rotten, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. Looking forward to school starting up next Tuesday and maybe going to probably get completely bombed before I go. That's my own problem and concern, you know?
That's the way to go. So you enjoying this the first week or so of 2012?
Yeah, it's been okay so far. You know, I guess a few upsets, but nothing I can't handle.
Well, it was Sunday. I was talking to TC about how it's been kind of a weird week or so for me, especially after my 12-year-old went back up north to go to school. It occurred to me that our whole buildup since probably after Halloween has been about the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and then getting the kid down here and then doing the celebration for, you know, the Adverse Day and the New Year's Day and the whole bit. So now that this that we're past that, it's been an effort to get back into things. And what's funny is that everything's going well. You know, we've got the tattoo clients are lining up. You know, all the little projects I've got going on are back online. I've got, you know, a bunch of new artwork that I'm slowly uploading and looking for a bunch of different places to sell some of the work I have and everything. I'm going to try Etsy out for a little while, see how that works. On Set Life, and I'm talking to people on Set Life about the arts and checking things out there. And nothing's out of the ordinary. If anything, I could say that all the things that have that are supposed to be going on seem to be going on properly. And it's sort of like this weird stasis is occurring right now, even with the U's, that, you know, everything's clicking exactly the way it's supposed to click. And I don't know, I just feel like there's a lack of momentum. So I'm going to be working on that this week, seeing what we need to do to get things really rolling a little bit better or in a little bit more satisfying manner. So we'll see what comes of all that. Tonight, I didn't really have a show topic planned for tonight, which is one of the things. That's the thing. That's, you know, I'm busy with everything else, and I need to really focus on what we're doing here as well.
I think that's topics, man. I go put that all on your doorstep. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I know. We've got a list of topics that we bounced back and forth. So we're going to be coming back to that, but tonight I thought I would just talk about, there were a couple of things in the news and online that caught my attention. And one of the first things I wanted to talk about was the Church of Satan. A few people on Facebook that I'm friends with. I have friends in the Church of Satan. I've got friends in all kinds of, I've got friends all over the place, you know, different people that I deal with. Matter of fact, one of my friends who's a warlock in the Church of Satan is coming out with a new book on paganism and heathenism, and he's asked me to write a piece about how I came into this particular philosophy, how I've moved into this particular philosophy. It's not the first time he asked me to submit something for his books. Matter of fact, his most recent book that he published, I, Lucifer, I'd recommend this. This is on Schiffer Press. The guy's name's Corvus Nocturnum. So Corvus Nocturnum, Schiffer Press. Check this guy out. He did a whole thing on Satanism and Lucifer and in the pop culture and the religious roots and historic roots. It's a book that's like it's a tour of everything Satanist from a modern Satanist perspective. So if anybody wanted to, you know, when you got all these people going, you know, what do you read after the Satanic Bible? What do you look at to get an idea about Satanism? This is actually a pretty decent book for that purpose. Most people who have been involved in Satanism for a long time, it's going to be old news, almost all of it. But anybody who's, you know, just getting into it, looking for, you know, a resource or looking for, you know, a tour guide, basically, that's what I would consider this. Well written, and it's the quality of the book is outstanding. It's all the papers like this. It's like this magazine print, glossy pages and everything else, but nice printer quality papers. There's, I mean, the book is nice. And the other thing is that when Corvus writes, he likes to get all of his friends involved. So of course, there's a couple pieces of artwork in this book from me, a bunch of other artists that I know that he knows. We're old friends from we're both from Fort Wayne. So check that out. So just to plug it. But anyways, so yeah, you know, so I've got friends in the Church of Satan, and one of the links that somebody's got posting today is that on the Church of Satan's Tumblr website, they posted a link. There's a big banner. I'm gonna post the link in the chat room right now. And unfortunately, the link's kind of long. So the most I can give you here as far as their Tumblr is news.churchofsatan.com. That should get you their Tumblr for those people who are listening to the show in the archive. There's this big banner that has the SIG pentagram, Hail Victory. It's from ASP Apparel. Their website is www.aspapparel.com. And the website's pretty cool. It's a rocking website. You know, it's a lot of interesting merchandise, very modern Satanist. And the person that designed this logo that they're pushing, well, I shouldn't say designed. The person that designed the apparel that incorporates this particular logo is also a member of the Church of Satan, Ashley Palmer, also a warlock in the Church of Satan. This is, you remember how when there was a big to-do over the sigil of Baphomet that's featured on all of LaVey's books, the old goat's hoof print or whatever you want to call it, that goat, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I figure most people know. Well, if they don't know what I'm talking about, and I have to keep in mind a lot of people that might be listening to this the show aren't Satanists, may not be familiar with this with what we're talking about. The sigil of Baphomet's featured on all the Anton LaVey books. And I think it's even on Gilmore's book also. But basically, there was a big thing in the Church of Satan for a little while over the use of that symbol, because a lot of other authors, a lot of people making, you know, films and documentaries, and in particular, you know, metal musicians, death metal musicians, things like that, were making use of that symbol. And more, I think, than that, it was other religious organizations, other satanic organizations who were taking that symbol and incorporating it into their symbol set in one form or another. And the Church of Satan sued somebody over it, or tried to sue somebody over it. But
yep.
The symbol itself comes from an alchemic text, I think. I don't know if it's an actual alchemy book or if it's just a, you know, kind of a alchemy 101. Here's an overview of alchemy or history of alchemy or whatever. Some French book, from what I understand. So this symbol originally came from that, and LaVey, of course, you know, took that symbol. And I don't know whether he did a design on his own or had somebody else design it. LaVey, you know, he had some artistic skill, but he had plenty of artists around him too. So who knows? But then this symbol became part of the Satanic Bible, and from that point forward, enjoined into the Church of Satan as a representative of what they are. When they lost their legal battle over the right to use this, LaVey adopted what he considered his personal symbol. This was an inverted pentagram, pretty plain, with the satanic S lightning bolt symbol going kind of right through the center of it. and I'm sure you've seen that. So, and this is something,
yep.
If you check out the ASP apparel, you'll see it, you know, featured prominently on the, as one of the emblems, is the SIG Lightning Bolt pentagram. So this was LeVay's personal symbol. The first time I ever saw it was, you know, it was a picture, a photo of LeVay, a public, a press photo of LeVay, and, you know, posing, and he's got the symbol around his neck, and the camera's kind of looking up at him, you know, adoringly, I guess.
I remember seeing in a lot of the old documentaries of him back in the day, he would, he wore that particular necklace most of, well, most of the interviews that he did along with that one ring of his.
Right on, right on. So the symbol might be older than the lawsuits. This is LeVay's personal symbol. Apparently, since LeVay has passed on, Gilmore has now adopted this as his personal symbol, at least from what I'm reading on the Tumblr site and on the ASP apparel site, that this particular artwork is Gilmore's personal symbol. And it's been adapted into a number of different items available on ASP Apparel. ASP Apparel, again, cool website. Nothing disparaging really to say about ASP Apparel, except if you have an issue with neo-Nazi propaganda and symbolism, the symbolism that they have here, a lot of the symbols they have here are very historically dramatic, is the proper way to put it, except for maybe, you know, there's the Totenkopf, you know, which is associated, you know, forever with the SS. It's one of the things that they sell there, that symbol. Several Germanic rooms, including the Wolf's Angel room. Boyd Wright's, his inequality symbol is also featured. It's one of those symbols. So this whole kind of Nazi aesthetic, Church of Satan, is something that Gilmore brought. At least based on my observation, I don't know. I'm not a member of the Church of Satan. I'm not really familiar with their history. So anybody in the Church of Satan that was listening to the show, if they do listen to the show, could sit there and say, you know, well, Sorrell's just talking out his ass. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But, you know, I've seen the documentary, the most recent Inside the Church of Satan documentary, where they talk about the Ragnarok rune that Gilmore designed and a lot of things going on with that. It seems that Gilmore is very heavily into the Nazi aesthetic. Okay.
But seeing here, you know, herein with that lies the biggest issue. Not only is that going to pretty much make them more of a, especially him and especially what the COS has become, it's going to be more of a joke now than it ever has been. I mean, they're going to be right up there in the ranks of, you know, the JOS and their Nazi propaganda bullshit.
See, and that's my initial leanings, and I'm not here to defend the Church of Satan. First of all, I had a friend of mine, I was talking to a friend of mine about what we'd be talking about on the show this evening. And I mentioned that I was going to be, you know, calling out the Church of Satan on tonight's show. And this friend mentioned that, you know, well, why not, you know, get back into what's going on with the Cult of Cthulhu and what's going on, you know, being more participant, what's going on Sin. And, all that stuff, all the, you know, what's going on with Ron French, what's going on with Paul Valentine, all that stuff. And frankly, you know, as interesting as those people might be, they really are kind of small potatoes compared to an organization like the Church of Satan. So it's
even the COS nowadays is really kind of small. They haven't really done anything since LeVay died.
Well, see, and in my opinion, the Church of Satan hasn't really done anything since 1969, you know, other than publish a few like LeVay's books. I mean, frankly, they've always been small. The difference is that, you know, they're the mouse that roars, basically. When people think about Satanism, when they're in the mainstream, I'm like, you and I, we're in the know. We're inside, and we see what's going on in Satanism. We make it a point in our lives to know kind of what's going on in Satanism, and, you know, we deal with Satanists and things like that. But people outside the mainstream, when that news reporter, when Halloween's coming up, and they need, the news cycle is slow, and they need to do a story that's going to get people's attention, and they think, hey, it's Halloween, let's talk about Satanism, and what do they think about when they think about Satanism? They think of Anton LeVay, and they think the Church of Satan. So regardless of, you know, their real impact, regardless of them, whether or not they're doing anything, they are the most successful in that manner satanic organization ever, frankly. And I mean, they engender that kind of thing. They go for that kind of thing as well, in my opinion. And this is all, again, in my opinion. So, you know, because these people, they get a little too happy when they hear people talking shit about them, whatever. So it's just me and my opinion. This is all editorial tonight. No facts at all, other than, you know, pointing to these websites. So, yeah, I agree. For those of us who have seen things like The Joy of Satan and their bullshit, trying to wed Satanism with neo-Nazi philosophy or the neo-Nazi agenda, whatever it is, we're going to look at this and go, oh, this shit just won't fly. First of all, let's talk about, and just I'm going to give you my opinion. This probably isn't going to be a popular opinion, but I think it's an honest opinion. The Nazi aesthetic, just the symbolism, just the look, the jack boots, the black trench coats, the red on black on white. It's a cool look. It is a cool aesthetic. Okay. You follow me?
Of course, this is still, you know, your own opinion, talking out of your ass. Okay, I get it.
Right. So that's what I'm saying now. And the thing is, you know, the black with red on it, with red highlights and everything else. You got a Kit Knight Rider from way back when. It looks cool. Okay, that's what they're going for. That just the color combination, just the symbols. It looks cool. It's intimidating. It's aggressive. That's what that was about. And when you've got an organization like the Church of Satan, who has no real depth beyond aesthetics, beyond, you know, what you see, you know, I think LeVay said, what you see is what you get. You know, you give them what they want, whatever. That's as far as it goes, as I think, with the Church of Satan as a whole, as an organization. I don't know their minds. I'm not a member of the Church of Satan, but I don't think, even though they have adopted a lot of this Germanic. So I'm not going to say Nazi, but Germanic, color patterns and symbols. I don't believe that they are strolling down the neo-Nazi fascist path. The red, black, and white, just to give a little bit of historic context, the reason these are the colors of Germany, or were the colors of Germany, and not before before even the neo-Nazi party, that Germany used to be Prussia. So during the Holy Roman Empire, this is the Northern Holy Roman Empire, not the Roman Empire in Italy. During that period of time, Prussia was a major portion of Germany. It was the biggest state in Germany. It stretched all the way to Russia, included Germany, Poland, Russia, Lithuania, Denmark, Belgium, the Czech Republic, and Switzerland, modern states. Parts of each of those states was incorporated into Prussia. Prussia's color was black. They had black on white. Their symbols were like an eagle or something like that. So this heralds back to German history. The red and white colors come from the Hanseatic League. This is a group of city-states along the northern European border that basically controlled ocean trade along that border prior to the Nazi Party. So the use of the red, black, and white is of historical significance to Germany, not just to the Nazis. So that's what the colors are there for. So Gilmore, being interested, I'm assuming, in the German, you know, history and ancient German history, looks at those colors and he brings them. He wants to, you know, pay homage to that for whatever reason. I don't know. Does anybody know if Gilmore himself is German or of German heritage? I know I'm of German heritage, so I mean that's kind of why I have some insight on as to what's going on here. But anybody in the chat room, I know it's not. It's just a. Just a few people tonight. If anybody knows or anybody wants to look it up real quick to see if Gilmore is of German heritage, that would be that'd be cool.
But dude, even if he's of German heritage, what does it matter, man? I mean, at the end of the day, okay, fine. Once they have the color schematics is part of the mystique of what he now has going for him, which ain't much, mind you. But he wants that color aesthetic. Fine, no big deal. But why add in the Nazism into it? What does he stand to gain by adding in something that really is not necessary within Satanism? Shouldn't even be part of Satanism. I think that any like-minded Satanists would agree that it's not fucking needed, that it actually sullies what it's all about, in my opinion.
And see, that's the thing that that concerns me, is that it muddles the message. Other than, the only thing I can think of is, like we started talking about at the beginning of the show, and we got cut off, of course, by the end of the show, so lucky you folks are out there listening, you're going to catch the end side of this conversation. Why do Satanists call themselves Satanism? Why do Satanists call themselves Satan or adopt the name of Satan, basically?
Shock value.
It is, right, it's meant to provoke, exactly. It's meant to create a kind of mental disconnect, especially in people, let's talk about the 50s and 60s, people who had been reared in Christianity, who, were looking at, this is where their values and traditions came from. If you need a kind of philosophical circuit breaker, that'd be one of the things that would do it. We're going to start calling ourselves Satanists. That's how we're going to distinguish yourself. And you call yourself a Satanist in the 1950s and 60s, and people are going to, either going to show up with pitchforks and torches, or they're going to make sure that they cross the street, to go the opposite side of the street if you're walking down the sidewalk. Okay, that's the kind of shit that was going on. So that's the kind of mentality. I think a lot of what we got going on here with the Church of Satan as a whole, adapting these kinds of Germanic, if not Nazi symbols, is the same mentality. It's a way of going, how far can you separate yourself from the moral and traditional taboos of the mainstream society?
Of course, Nazism is still one of the last taboos. I mean, we're almost out of Holocaust survivors. They're all kicking the bucket still. Ain't got many of them fucking left. So yeah, still a major taboo, because it's still within the culture of society even as of today. It's still ingrained in so many people that this was a very bad thing that happened in history. We shall never repeat this again. But no, dude, this is not needed within Satanism at all. Oh.
Right, right. And there's second and third generation, third or fourth generation, maybe not second generation, survivors of the Holocaust, descendants of those survivors, who are adapting the symbolism themselves, who adapt this aesthetic in their personal lives for whatever reason, Satanists or what have you. So, but yeah, it muddies the water. And it goes to show what you were kind of saying, that the Church of Satan hasn't really done anything since 1989. If you can't come up with a new symbol, or if you can't adapt a new, way of thinking, a new perspective, if you got to reach back and, borrow something from the past. Now, granted, there's strength in that. This is a symbol set that's already ingrained in society. It already has power. There's already a taboo to it, but it's kid stuff. It's playing around with the same. Who are you trying to impress now? Little old ladies and everything. I mean, who's impressed with this really? Little kids and little old ladies are impressed with this kind of shit.
Sounds like he's trying to pull shit out of his ass.
Right. Right now. And so this.
Remember. Opinion only. Opinion only.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna take a big leap here and give a pretty solid opinion. A fairly controversial opinion. Peter Gilmore has on a number of occasions come out and publicly said he's not a fascist. He has no interest in Nazism or anything like that. That he himself is not a Nazi and blah 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 all that stuff because of the symbol sets he selected. However, I have to wonder, when the cameras are off and the doors are closed and he feels like he's in pretty secure company, if he himself doesn't espouse that ideology.
That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it?
To be that deep into the symbolism, to be that deep into the whole aesthetic, and not have some philosophical leanings in that direction, not have to lack that level of sensitivity, Okay, and it's weird talking about Satanists being sensitive to some things, but if you're talking about, it's like you're saying, and on a PR kind of level, you're trying to promote your organization. You're trying to promote, you know, what it is you're doing. And you can sit there and say, oh, well, we're trying to gather free thinkers, and free thinkers would see around this. Right. Free thinkers might see around all this, but then free thinkers might also recognize when you're doing something stupid. And this is a little idiotic, this kind of embracing the symbolism, unless, you know, there's something more going on there that might be a little bit more important to you than you're letting on. So, but that again,
okay, I have
just
a question
opinion.
For you, man. When did they start moving in all this merchandise? Was this a really, really recent thing?
Well, I want to say the Ragnarok rune was introduced. Let me see here. The Ragnarok rune was introduced around 1998, 1999, 2000. What I'm doing is looking up. If you haven't seen the Inside the Church of Satan documentary, really well, I thought well done. I thought it was interesting. It was the first time that the media had been given this guy. He does a show like he's some guy who's like a regional radio show host late at night, and he does a kind of coast-to-coast kind of deal. He did a documentary. He gave Peter Gilmore what Gilmore considered a fair shake. So Gilmore invited him to bring, you know, cameras and a camera crew in and to visit this guy in Canada. Josh P. Warren is the guy who did the documentary. He was invited up to, let me see, I'm looking over the information here real quick. Turn down that. Let's see here. I'm trying to find when it was printed or when it was published. I'm not finding the date.
Let me try to make a point here while you're kind of, you know, zooming around the internet looking for that. My big question is, okay, you're saying it was probably late 90s, early 2000s when different symbolisms came out more publicly from the COS. My question is, first off, okay, when was this apparel created? When was the line, you know, really launched? Asking that mostly because of the fact that over the last 4 or 5 years, you've noticed a lot of the more modern guard, as it were, kind of really backing off, really kind of leaving the COS and pretty much disassociating themselves with it. And then it brings back to your point of the idea of, you know, what is he possibly doing behind closed doors if he's perhaps, and we're all opinionated here, if perhaps he is speaking on such Nazi ideals, if maybe that is why some of the people have been leaving.
You know, that may be, especially if we're talking about people leaving that core circle. And I don't think people like Church, Rex Church, or whatever the guy's name was, I know that he had a fairly decent rank, but I don't know if he was, you know, actually working frequently in the offices in New York or whatever, what have you. But that could be part of it, that people, you know, as they see the aesthetic, the Nazi aesthetic become more and more prevalent as part of the Church of Satan, even if they're not privy to what might be really going on there. But they're like, you know what, this shit goes too far, or it's going it too far in the wrong direction. So not to say that they disagree with the idea of challenging taboos and challenging the social perception of certain symbols or whatever, but that it's not worthy of their Satanism. So that's why they're abandoning ship. Boyd Rice just disagreed with, I guess, I don't know these people. I don't speak with them. It's just based on what I've seen on the internet. Boyd Rice disagreed with the whole management of the Church of Satan, the whole push for all people who consider themselves Satanists to be a member of this organization and that kind of inner herd mentality. So I think that's why he walked away. Rex Church seemed to walk away because he believes, or he leans towards there being an actual Satan that he tries to emulate, and that's not at all appreciated in Satanism, you know. In the Church of Satan, it's not appreciated when you have that kind of, when you have a belief in magic. You know, and now that I think about it, I've seen pictures of LeVay and Gilmore hanging out together, and LeVay's kind of wearing some of the gear. You know, I remember him having it's either a Nazi officer's cap or a gay biker cap. I mean, you have to go one way or the other with it. So say what you want about LeVay. You know, if one thing that I can say about LeVay that's positive is that he was fairly decent at marketing himself. Okay, at least on a cursory. You know, this thing took off and he became the poster boy of Satanism. The management of his personal affairs, his ability to write a book. Either he was a fairly decent author or he's really good at bringing together other people's ideas, whatever you want to say. But it seems to me that, you know, there was this direction as Gilmore was becoming more and more involved with the Church of Satan, with Anton LaVey. It seemed that this idea of this Nazi or ancient dramatic aesthetic was being embraced or being brought in by LaVey himself. So the old man might have been part of it. And now that Gilmore, you know, is at the reins, I look at this. This warlock, Ashley Palmer, okay? I mean, what's going on here? You know, she's produced the symbolism. She's got the stuff that should make Gilmore happy, you know, should tickle his inner demon or whatever. And I think we're seeing a little dick sucking here going on, don't you? I mean, you're polishing the knob of the top guy by, ooh, Mr. Gilmore, here's these symbols, or High Priest Gilmore, here's these symbols that I know you really are into and everything else. And I've gone ahead and made these special items, you know, with these symbols just in mind, and do you like that? And how much do they like it? Well, it's on their Tumblr site, that's for fucking sure. They're crowing about it. So, yeah, maybe she was commissioned to do it. Who knows, you know? So, again, all opinion here. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. It's just the way it looks to us little people, us little Satanists down here on the street level and stuff like that, who aren't members of the Church of Satan. So we know what we're talking about anyways.
I see the whole thing is, I think this is pretty much, you know, the dying twitch of the COS. I really do. I don't give it many more years for it. It's nothing more than just a small little button to be talked about around Halloween and nothing more.
Well, yeah. I think it's there already. Frankly,
yeah,
I think that's the only time that really... Yeah, and it's... You know, LaVey wrote a piece... that was in the, I don't know which, it was definitely in the tribute issue of, what was that magazine? It's one of the Church of Satan's magazines from way back when. LaVey died and there was a tribute
Cloven
issue.
Hoof? No.
Cloven Hoof, yeah. I think it's Cloven Hoof. Anyways, one of the articles they featured with LaVey was him talking about, barlouses or something. I'd have to run and go get it. It's in the back room. I don't want to walk all the way out back there and get it. Basically, what he was saying was that the Church of Satan is likened to a high-end social club, okay, where you come in, you're required to wear a suit and tie, all the best hobnot there, you know, the rich and the famous, they all hobnot there, and if you're a louse, if you show up and you can't pay your bar tab, if you get drunk and rowdy, if you got problems with, you know, following the rules and everything else, well, they'll throw you out. And then, but what you do is you then go down the street to, you know, one of the seedier bars, one of the shittier establishments, who say they're just like a high end club. And when you walk in there, they'll dust a seat off for you, and they'll want to hear about how shitty those people at the Church of Satan are and how fucked up they are and everything else. And they'll buy you drinks and everything. They'll treat you like a big man. It's just to keep that whole thing going. And of course, I'm sure he was referring to like the first Church of Satan and all those other things. But it seems now that the worm has turned. That you'll have the Church of Satan going as long as there's teens with angst, as long as there's,
yeah,
you know, yeah, as long as there's people who lack any sort of real inner self. And that, I mean, that's what blows my mind about the Church of Satan, especially, you know, the way it's evolved, is you start out with an organization that espouses these ideas, a book, I don't know what the organization did, but a book that espouses the idea that you should be self-determined, that you should think for yourself and do for yourself and not be slave to anyone or anything. And then, you know, the old man starts defining exactly what will not be Satanism in his organization. And, you know, and then you end up with the Temple of Set and those people, John Ali or whoever, leaving. You know, it goes further, and eventually he sits there and says, look, if you're going to be a Satanist, you have that little red card in your wallet. Pay your $100. And it's $200 now, I know, but back then it was $100. So, yeah, you have to pay your $100. You have to have the little red card, or you're not a Satanist, which goes totally against what I, you know, at least what I picked up from the Satanic Bible. From what I understood reading that book is that if you read this book and you agreed with the majority of what was in there, consider yourself a Satanist.
It was a marketing scheme, man. I mean, dude, come on now, dude. They basically had to make money somehow. Red card did it. Who can blame them, though? And at the end of the day, who can knock them for trying to make a little bit of cash off it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and get pissed off when the money's not coming in, I'm sure, because the Satanic Bible is not owned by the Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It never was. That was the Satanic Rituals, not owned by the Church of Satan. They didn't see any money from that either. So yeah, I think I would be a little shitty that you write this really popular book and you develop this really popular philosophy and it turns a lot of people on, gets them going, gets them jazzed, and you're not seeing any of the benefits from it. And it would be one thing if you could have sat back and said, yeah, it's all good, and if you want to talk to me about what I got going on, kind of like Boyd Rice said, you know, go ahead, write to Boyd Rice, ask him your questions, he won't steer you wrong. Now, I'm not saying Boyd Rice is right or wrong, but I'm saying that was the attitude to have, I think, that, you know, he has no interest in leading any fucking thing. If you want to come to him and ask him questions, he'll answer questions for you. You might not like his answers, but you'll get an answer. LaVey expecting, you know, his organization for people, non-joiners, for him not to attract sheep and be surprised, you know, when they start showing up, and he's cultivating them, of course. And that's the thing that really bothers me with the core Church of Satan leadership right now. I mean, what was Blanche Barton if not LaVey's cock holster? And that was it. Okay, let's just be blunt. Okay, in my opinion, not knowing anything, the legal disclaimer here, anything said by Jason Strell during tonight's show should not be held against the Ooze or Creative Oddity Studios in any way. It is purely editorial opinion. Blanche Barton was nothing more than LaVey's cock holster. What the fuck else has she contributed to the Church of Satan than sucking that old man's balls? That's it, okay? And, you know, it's, you know, yeah, sure, honey, you can be the high priestess of the Church of Satan. There you go. Patting her on the head while she's, you know, balls deep, you know, there and everything.
Well, dude, man, what the hell is Gilmore, man? I mean, he had that old man bent over licking his asshole. I mean, what the fuck, you know?
Oh, you're right on path with me, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Maybe not as literally as Blanche Barton. We don't know, okay? Can't say one way or the other as far as that's going. We know with Blanche that, you know, she's choked on that old man's cock once or twice. But
you should, man. They all still stand around the old circle, man. You know, a big old picture of him sitting in the Senate, all, you know, his big old circle jerk. That's all it is these days, man. You know, kind of making a cocky fest, man. Who, you know, who gets to lick the spunk off picture first, you know?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with Gilmore is that he's an ass kiss. He's a world-class ass kiss. He's the fucking, he's the Eddie Haskell of Satanists, basically, you know? It's so obvious. You read Satanic Scriptures, and there's nothing new there. He's trying to be the old man. That's it. That's all that's going on there. It's, you know, and it's to, they sit there and say, and I've heard this from other organizations, not just the Church of Satan, that what they're trying to do, what they're really trying to do is just preserve the way the old man wanted things to go. Okay, they're just carrying on with LaVey's work. Well, I've read his work. That's not what he wants you to do. You know, he wants you to go out and do your own fucking thing. Well, at least the books he wrote suggested that he wanted you to go out and do your own fucking thing. Okay.
Yeah, behind closed doors, man. Everything always comes through behind closed doors. Whew.
Right, right. Yeah, don't you dare develop this shit. Don't you dare take it in a different direction. Don't you dare try to do anything fucking original or novel or, you know, dare I say satanic. Don't do that shit because the Church of Satan will not put their official stamp on it. If the Church of Satan doesn't put their official stamp on it, then it's not satanic. So, yeah, it's problematic, man. And so you look at this thing with... You look at this stuff on Asp Apparel, and I'm sure these people are decent people. I'm sure they're working really hard, and it's a cool idea. And you know, I hope they make thousands, thousands of dollars. I hope they're rolling around in it. You know, it's good for them if they get some success. You know, but it's like you're saying, it just seems to be the wrong way for an organization that styles Satanism to go.
They need one more trick, man. That's all I need. They need one more trick, man. They'll be back on top. You know how that is. Kind of like the pony races, man. I just need that one fucking horse, man. Just that one goddamn horse will be back on top.
And, you know, I don't know. Here I am running down the Church of Satan. The one thing I can say about members of the Church of Satan, based on my observations, having close contact with people, you know, who are in the organization, that when you have an attitude of put up or shut up, that if you have the attitude of, if you don't have the money to play the game, we're not playing with you. If you don't have the money to be involved, we're not going to be involved with you. If there isn't some financial something going on there, and that's, I mean, the Church of Satan, even when LaVey was doing his thing, his whole who gets the title, that's, I think it was part of the schism with Michael Queen on the Temple of Set, who gets the title, who gets rank, the people that have demonstrated in society that they are successful, that, you know, the true magician is able to make shit happen. You know, that was LaVey's explanation. What it was code for was, I want people to have money because we need money to support this organization.
Yep.
So the Church of Satan continues to do that. Now, this, I mean, we can say what we want, but this person selling these, you know, these items of clothing with these little symbols and shit on them, they will sell these items, okay? People within the Church of Satan will buy these things.
You know, man, part of me wants to disagree. Part of me wants to say that it'll not be the ones who have been involved in it for, let's say, more than 5 to 10 years. Okay?
Okay.
I personally see it more with these teen angst mentality of these teenagers. Let's even say into your maybe early 20s. That they'll be the ones to buy this apparel. I don't see anyone who has been involved in it for a considerable amount of time, who's even above 30 years old, buying into it. I personally do not see that.
Are you? You're in college. Have you dealt with a college frat alumnus yet?
No, and I refuse to.
Okay. My girlfriend works with a college frat alumnus. Okay. These people, you're in a fraternity, you graduate from a certain college. It's been 40 years since you set foot on campus. You still buy all their shit. You still go out and you get the little logo from the football team. You've got the towels. You got the little fucking the personalized license plate with the little fucking logo showing you're an alumnus on it. You've got the cufflinks. You got all the bullshit. Because even though it has no real impact in your life, really, you know, who knows? You could be you went to school. You went to art school. Fucking all I know. You went to art school. What did you do? You're pouring coffee at a Starbucks, basically. That's what you do. Okay, whatever. But you're that into it. I mean, it becomes so much a part of what you got going on. These clones. Yeah, I mean, think about who we're talking about. These drones or whatever. These sheep who get involved with the Church of Satan, who are now their bread and butter, who, you know, who eat and breathe it for 30, 40 years. Who this is where they go to feel special. Is the Church of Satan. I gotta say, I see these people buying this shit. You know, just... Gilmore writes a book, and people run out and buy it.
Dude,
no?
I just, I have to say, man, I hope you're wrong. I really do. I just, I hope I'm not the one eating crow on my prediction. I really fucking do.
But the thing is what does it matter? Because you know what? When I go out in the world, and if I'm, if I ever find myself, and this is one of the phrases, or one of the things I read early on when I was really studying Satanism, this is years ago. Some guy talking about, there's a whole bunch of people being interviewed talking about, you know, their participation in Satanism. One of the things I found most endearing was one of the Satanists said, "I hate Satanists. I hate dealing with Satanists. I hate talking to Satanists. We're talking about a group of people who are supposed to be leaders, who are supposed to be, you know, for themselves, all about themselves. Who wants to be in a room full of assholes? And every Satanist is supposed to be an asshole. Who would say, I love being around other assholes? If you're a leader, you want to be as far away from other leaders as possible. You want to be leading, and you have to lead, you have to lead sheep. So a lot of people,
yeah.
like you said, a lot of people abandoning the Church of Satan, they're leaders. They're people who have been doing their own thing. I mean, fucking Rex Church, look at that guy. Okay. I totally disagree with this.
Okay, dude. Let's even look at him aesthetically. He ain't got anything else to fucking do besides Satanism. Okay, let's be honest. You will not see him working at Starbucks. You will not see him doing shit besides Satanism, even from an aesthetic, personal, you know, yeah, look.
Well, working in the carnival, one or the other. You know?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I dig his artwork. I dig his work. I've seen some of his artwork and everything else. He's got that going. I mean, I know what that means, though. You know, he's living at a trailer park, you know, in his mom's or something. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't know what he's doing. He might be very successful. He might have a chateau in France. I have no idea. I'm just saying. Okay, but I know that when I go out in the world, and if I were to deal with another Satanist, if I find myself once again, I drove out to San Antonio years ago when I first got here to Texas to meet another Satanist in his little clique.
Yeah, you told me that story, man.
Was that? Yeah, it was a disaster. If I go to to meet another Satanist, and he shows up with one of these cloaks from Asp Apparel. With the sigil of Satan, the red, white, and black sigil of the lightning bolt sig on his cloak. Well, I know I'm dealing with an idiot. You know? So he's identified himself already, and then all I have to do is be very polite, never deal with that asshole again. So if I don't pick up on it, this clothing being out there available for these people to get into will definitely be of help to me.
Oh, fuck. I still hope I'm... Oh.
I think the difference here, that the thing that we need to keep in mind is that are you operating under the idea that the Church of Satan might have Satanists as members?
Oh, dude, they're nothing more than just Christians these days, man. They always have been. Who are we trying to kid?
Well, they're sheep.
They're nothing more than sheep.
Right. That's it. They're followers. So it's hard. You're hard pressed, I think, to find a member of a Satanist who's an active, participating, you know, member of the Church of Satan who's there. Like if you see that Inside the Church of Satan video, like I said, it's a well done video and it was an interesting video. But every person that was talked to in that video was a sheep. You know, they were there. They were there hawking. That was the other thing. They're hawking their shit. You know, this guy who did some courses on satanic self defense. You know, you got some chick who they went around taking pictures of old drive-ins. That's a cool idea and everything. So, you know, I don't know about that couple and everything, but man, this chick. I mean, she obviously thought she was very hot, and except for that buck tooth grin, I guess I'd have to agree. But other than that, man, the face of a horse. They were sheep. They were the ones who actually could fly out to Canada to be part of this documentary to put on a good show for the Church of Satan. Otherwise, nobody would have been there.
And dude,
they
all had that same tone. Their voice, the same kind of droning tone. No voice inflection, no nothing. It was so fucking mechanical. And it was as if they were all spouting the party line. There was nothing intelligent to it. It was as if it was all rehearsed by probably Gilmore, who the fuck knows, remember? Talking out of my ass here.
Right.
Who knows? But that's how it fucking sounded.
Well, it's one of these friends of mine who is a member of the Church of Satan. And
remember, don't give names, man. We don't even lose his red card.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I'm not giving that name, because it's a very real threat to this person, to this chick, okay? I suggested to this woman, this young lady, that she visit the Satanic International Network, that she was complaining about how there seems to be so little substantive forums to go on, you know, she was getting bored with just talking to the same group of Satanists on the Church of Satan. I said she should check out the Satanic International Network. She said, well, she can't do that either, because it's not a network that is officially sanctified or you know, endorsed by the Church of Satan. And that while they have not officially said, you know, if you participate in these types of organizations, you'll be kicked out. I mean, Google it. Look it up online. There's all kinds of people who have been given their, you know, the boot letters from the Church of Satan. And one of the things that's cited in almost every one of those letters is you were fraternizing with non-satanic organizations. You were fraternizing with organizations that were pretenders to Satanism.
Wow.
Right. So yeah.
But, dude,
yeah,
how in the fuck can they prove it, though?
Prove what? You get a letter from the Church of Satan saying we're
how can they prove that? Okay, let's say, for instance, Jason Sorrell, upstanding member of the Church of Satan, he decided to join a network. Hey, if you use your own your fucking name, who are they going to know?
They, based on the, and this is in the letters, they send out their little minions to these different, I'm sure they're members of the Church of Satan in sin right now, whose sole purpose is to rat out Church of Satan members who speak out on sin.
That is so dirty, man. Holy shit.
Oh. But it's just like, what other, other organizations do that shit. You know, I mean, not as blatantly, but Zach has his network of people. You know, Zach doesn't sit there and say, go out there and find them. But Zach has, you and I, we see some shit going down in some forum. They're talking shit about any of our friends. We're going to run back and say something to Zach. It's fucked up that the Church of Satan would have little toadies that would be totally willing to, you know, oh, yes, Mr. Gilmore, I'll be right on it. I'll make sure, you know. But that's what they got going on. That's how they know. And from what I understand, they've gone as far as, you know, they make sure, you know, if it were somebody typing away as Jason Sorrell, they check the IP address. You know, I'm sure they make lists of, you know, you're a member of the Church of Satan and what are you involved in? Where are you at? And they'll make a list of every, you know, ID that they think is yours. I mean, it's, who knows? I mean, when you're working part time and drawing in an unemployment check and everything else, you got a lot of fucking free time at the Church of Satan, I'm sure. And again, that's just opinion. I have no clue, you know, what those people do, if they have full-time jobs, if they have money or anything like that. I don't know that they're on unemployment or on the dole or whatever they have, but...
Hey, man, I didn't know you could pay your life bill with food stamps. Oh, sorry.
Right. So, yeah. And it's, you know, and it's... In other forums, I've defended the Church of Satan on many occasions. You know, when... people were, you know, talking shit about the Church of Satan.
You there, man?
Wow. Bring Rotten back on. Rotten, you on, man?
Yeah, man. What the fuck was that? You basically died mid-sentence.
My phone hung up. You know, maybe the Church of Satan had a little bit more pull than we thought, you know?
That was
What I was going to say was that I've stood up for the Church of Satan in other forms, even though I'm not a member. And one of the things to point out is that they don't get involved, from what I observed, they didn't get involved in these little pissing contests and these different public forums with people. However, it's come to my attention that, in fact, they do. they just work through these different intermediaries. They send their members out to, you know, take care of business in these different forums and everything. I don't know that there's any official Church of Satan members in sin who have gotten in on it. I know in other forums they have. So, yeah. And it's, I guess it's nice to be below their attention, I guess. So
I'm going to have to pay a little more attention to that, see who I can take out of the crowd, you know?
Right. So, all right. So that's been an hour. That's been our show. I don't think we even had to give out the call-out number, 347-989-1371. next Tuesday, I'm not sure yet what we'll be talking about, but I'm working on what I'd like to do from this point going forward, and also on the Sunday show. On the Sunday show, I do know what we're talking about. Next Sunday, I had an opportunity last night to revisit the movie The Matrix, and I know on the Sunday show we talked about Fight Club, and we talked about how there are certain things in Fight Club that parallel what we're talking about on the Take Action show, what was kind of going on in the Cyber Eye show, even what we're talking about here in many ways. The original Matrix, the first film, has a lot of shit that lines up very nicely with what we're talking about. So I want to kind of talk about The Matrix. So that's what we're going to be doing Sunday. We're going to be visiting The Matrix for 2 hours. Or an hour. It just depends on, you know, how long it takes us to talk the subject out. But this show, not sure what we're doing yet, but I want to start sending just program notes back and forth, just so that you have an idea what things I'm going to be hitting on, and I have an idea what things you're going to be hitting on during a particular show. That way we kind of know, you know, what to expect as far as, you know, what's going to be brought up. Because I'm listening to more professional productions, and that seems to be the way they do it, that when you got two people going back and forth, they already know the topics and the points they're going to make, maybe not back, you know, together, but they know what they're going to say about something, so that it seems a little bit faster and a little less, you know, muddled through. So,
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how that works. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and roll the outro, unless you got something you want to say.
Actually, one thing, man. Do you know that over the last few weeks we've not actually run that little middle spiel? Like, the last few shows, actually?
The commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we haven't had time. We get on a roll. So, no, that's fine. We got about 90 seconds left. This show, I think, it might be coming that we're going to roll this into a two-hour show. And then we'll want to do not just the Creative Eye Studios commercials, but some commercials from some other stuff. So, Tropic Momentum, thanks for hanging out in the chat room, and we're gonna roll the outro. We'll catch you guys next Tuesday.
See you next week. Yep.
Thanks for right on. Later. Thanks for listening to you.